That is a serious, serious verse. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders came to him, and they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things." He said, "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed." And they answered and said to Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Father God, we come before you today in prayer, so thankful to be in the house of God. I am so thankful that I feel the Spirit of God moving in this place, that you care and love for your people. You love your people enough that you don't want to leave us the way you found us. God, you want us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You want to take us to a higher level, a higher plane in you. You want to change our life. You want to heal the bruise and set free the captives, God. And I believe, Lord, you want to save the lost and heal the sick today, God. You want to do something powerful in our lives, and we say yes and amen. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Do your work. Have your way in this service. My God, we are dependent upon you. We need you with all of our heart. Help us to realize how much we need you. Even though we may have money in the bank, God, we have a need for an almighty God. You are El Shaddai. You are the God that supplies. You are Jehovah Jireh. Lord, you are Jehovah Rapha. God, you are all and in all. In you we move and live and have our being. God, have your way in this service today. May we be faithful to you. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. My rock and my redeemer, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Today I'm talking to you about the mirage of the church. The mirage of the church. Many of you know what the word mirage means, probably all of you. But how many of you have seen a movie before where you saw some people out in the desert and they're about to die and they're dying of thirst? They've been there for a little while and all of a sudden they see something ahead like a beautiful oasis. It's got palm trees and it's beautiful water. And there is their hope, right? That if I can only make it to that little lake, I know I'll be okay. That's my salvation right there. And so they begin to move with all their energy, with all their might. They're moving towards that oasis, only to find out that when they get there, it was all in their minds. Their minds saw it. It was never really there. And what a disappointment. What a disappointment. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 5, he's talking about the end times. And he says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters." Think about our world today, would you? Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You ever think, why is our church house not full? Is it because we've reached everybody in Paris? No. To many people in this world, the church is insignificant. They're chasing other things today rather than God. But listen to the rest of this. Lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's called religion. And from such people, turn away. My prayer is God, help us not be religious. Help us not only to have a form of godliness, but to have the power of God in our lives. So let's tell this story. Jesus was hungry and he was coming out of Bethany and he saw this fig tree and it was all leafed out. And that doesn't mean one thing to you guys, I know. But a fig tree was different than most trees. It's actually a sycamore tree. It's actually the same kind of tree that Zacchaeus climbed up into. So a fig tree produces its fruit and then it produces the leaves. So when you see a fig tree that's got leaves on it, you can assume that the figs are there. So Jesus looked at that, even though it wasn't in season, he looked at it and he says, oh, I'm hungry and there a tree is all bloomed out. It ought to have figs. So he goes over to it to find the fruit, to eat the fruit and to find out it's fruitless. How many Christians do you know today that they have the appearance, oh, especially on Sunday, but they're fruitless? They're fruitless. Jesus cursed that fig tree and it died because that fig tree was a mirage. It appeared to be something, but it really wasn't. It appeared to have fruit, but it really didn't. Guys, I think it's time that as church members, as church people, we take off our mask and let's be real and let the Holy Ghost change us from the inside out. As growing up in the church, I thought all the change needed to be done from the outside in. And man, it was taught that way basically because it was taught do not, do not, do not, do not, right? You're constantly working on the do-nots in your life instead of the do's. And if you'll start working on the do's, you won't have to work on the do-nots because the do is draw closer to God. And as you draw closer to God, He works on the do-nots on the inside. So it's not the outside of the cup trying to get clean. It's the inside of the cup being cleansed by God who then transforms you by the renewing of your mind. Your life will go in your most predominant thought. So as God cleanses your mind up, no longer do you think, I have to quit cussing. I have to quit cussing. I can't tell dirty jokes. I got to do this. I can't. All of a sudden, you're just saying, you know what? Forget all that nonsense. I just want to move towards Jesus. I just want to be the best friend that Jesus has ever had. And the closer you get to Him, the more He starts changing that old evil heart that's in you. And all of a sudden, you don't have to worry about cussing. You ain't cussing anymore. Why? Because God changes you from the inside and it comes out. He transforms you. The next thing we see in this story is Jesus heads to the temple. Goes to the temple. Now, I'm telling you, when you read this story, you think, well, even Jesus had bad moods. Does anybody else think that? I thought, ooh, buddy, he had a bad hair day. Somebody must have said something wrong to Jesus that day because he's cursing everything. He curses the fig tree. He goes to the church and starts whipping up on the people. Man, if a preacher did that today, we'd get him out of the church. He goes to the church and he expects to find one thing, but he finds something totally different. He goes and he finds out. And this is the priesthood that's doing this, by the way. See, the high priest owns this, basically. Everything that happens in there is owned by the management. Can we say that in today's lingo? The management is part of this. So it starts at the top. So what they're doing is Treva comes today and she's going to offer her sacrifice. And as the high priest or as a priest, I look at it and say, that's not acceptable. That has a flaw, but I have something that I'll sell you so that you can continue on your task. So she says, okay, well, what am I going to do with this? I'll take that old dirty animal from you. So I take her and sell her something that she needs. And then the next person that comes up, I sell the sheep that I just took from her. Sell it to them as an acceptable. Do you see what's happening? It's fraud, and this is big business. Guys, I'm telling you, the high priest was a wealthy, wealthy man. very wealthy. You wonder why he was so upset with Jesus, because Jesus was cashing in on his goods. He was bringing down the marketplace of the temple. Jesus gets there and says, "How dare you turn the house of God into a den of thieves? The house of God is supposed to be the house of prayer." You ever been in a service that there was no prayer? We go through the motions. Hey, let's get this train going. We start with songs. We go to the altar. Preacher preaches, says a nice little prayer maybe at the end, and then we go out. But it's prayerless. It's powerless. It's church as usual. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that God is sick of church as usual. I believe He's sick of it. I believe God says, "I'm looking for a faithful people. I'm looking for a people that I can say they're peculiar. They chase after me. And when I find that group of believers, I'm going to place such an anointing on them that they will turn the world upside down." Guys, let's not go back to status quo. You hear me? We're not going back. We're going to keep pushing it. We're going to keep moving towards. The purpose of the church is to be a house of prayer. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. But he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." If we have a potluck, we'll have one of the largest crowds that we ever have. If we have a prayer meeting, we'll have 12. Oh, it's not convenient. I got other things going on Saturday night, Pastor. I understand that. So do I. My days are just as busy as yours. I just move some things around. Somebody says, "Hey, can you do this on Saturday night?" And I say, "No, I have an appointment on Saturday night." Saturday night is probably the most important service of the week. And probably 90% of you have never been here. I wasn't planning on doing this, but it's time brass tacks come out. Are we going to be serious with God? And I know some of you don't drive at night, and I understand that. That's legitimate. So get in your closet. You can be praying Saturday night at 6:30. Turn the stinking TV off. Get in your closet and pray. It's that important. There was a time in the church when the church house doors opened, Christians assembled. I don't care what you call. Christians are going to be there. Because they're serious about their walk with God. Today, we have Sunday morning only. It's the biggest part of our church. It's just Sunday morning. I see you once a week. Quite honestly, I don't see you once a week. I see you about twice a month, at that much. Guys, are you getting this? I'm not scolding you. I really don't mean to be scolding you. I'm warning you. It's close to the end times. No, it's not close. We are in the end times. It's close to the coming of Jesus. I don't want you to miss it. And I'm going to tell you, according to the Word of God, there's people that miss it that says, "But Lord, didn't we not do these things?" You see, they were in the house when the demons cast out. They were in the house that did great things. But they weren't part of it. It's a scary thing, guys. I can't tell you. I can't judge you. It's not for me to do. All I can say is, are you a mirage? Are you a mirage as a Christian? Or do you carry the real deal? Is there an anointing in your life? Have you ever worked with somebody and then later on, you know, as the relationship builds, you're talking to them and they say, "Oh yes, I'm a Christian." And your first words is, "Really? That's a bad sign. If people are surprised when you say you're a Christian, that is not good. That means that the world has higher standards for Christians than you do. I believe that we should have a deep reverence for the house of God. That's not taught often anymore. We get so casual in the house of God that there's a casualness about the things of God. I believe that when we do communion, it ought to be silent, not a bunch of gabbing. You can't imagine how upset I was one week when we did communion and all I heard was, it was everything I could do to not get up here and say, shut your mouths. What you're doing is holy. This is a holy moment with God. Guys, I believe there should be some reverence in the house of God. And I'm not talking about the way you dress. I'm talking about your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God and who you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, if we're going to reverence the house of God, meaning the church building, how much more should you reverence you? Because this is only brick and mortar. This is only a building. The real house of God, the real temple of God, I'm looking at them. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you? Have you ever done anything before and feel the Spirit of God be grieved? And you repent? That's reverence. Not continuing on in a lifestyle of sin. You're going to mess up. And you're probably going to mess up more often than you want. But when you feel the grieving of the Spirit of God, stop. Repent. I believe Jesus has got to be number one in your life. You remember these words. What one generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. Did you get it? What one generation does in moderation, the next generation will do in excess. What are your kids going to be like coming to the house of God if they see it doesn't really matter to you? I'll be talking to you when you're about 45 years old, when you can't get your grown adult kids into church. And I'll be kind. And I won't say what I want to say. You know what? I don't know why they're not coming when you hit once a month. I know this is a hard sermon. I know that it's going to be easier to get mad at me today than it is to get mad at you. But by the way, I'm here every week. Yeah, you get paid for it. Well, I was here a long time before I got paid. Guys, I hope you're thinking. Don't just get mad. Think. Think in your life. Do I need to change? Is there some correction that I need to be made? Am I that fig tree? Do I come to church just to have a good time or to put on a face? Or do I come to church because I know I'm going to meet with God there? And I am going to change. What's the intended purpose for the Christians? Do you know God has a purpose for every one of your lives? God has a purpose for all of us, but God has an individual purpose for you. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. When's the last time you talked to somebody about giving their heart to Jesus? I'm just going from bad to worse, ain't I? I'm just like, I know this is hard. When Peter sees the fig tree, he's amazed. Isn't that interesting? He heard Jesus. He heard what Jesus said. But when he sees it, he goes, wow, that really happened. And Jesus said, have faith in God. But the true Greek word would not be have faith in God. It would be this, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. And the immediately, the next response is to say. See, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed. If you have the faith of God, you're going to say to this mountain. Now you listen to me real closely. We are all speaking faith constantly. We constantly talk about what we truly believe. And sometimes it's downright upsetting if you hear yourself talk. Because we're so stinking negative. Well, this is probably going to happen. Well, she's probably going to get pneumonia and die. She's got a cold. Let's not have a burial yet. I stubbed my toe last week and I'm pretty sure it's got gangrene in it. I'm serious. What are you doing? You're speaking faith. But it's reversed faith. It's fearful faith. But when the mouth and the heart agree, it's powerful. See, the Bible says in James, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, this is what I was trying to tell you. You be careful and don't let me get into this faith thing too much because I'll preach you a whole nother sermon. The double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I don't know whether to believe God or, oh, yes, I'm trusting God. Be healed in Jesus' name. He's probably going to die. That's double-minded. I'm going to pay all my bills. I'm going to do this for God. Bless God, I'm doing this. Woo-hoo, I can't do nothing. We're double-minded, constantly being pulled in both directions. God, Jesus is saying, when your mouth lines up with God's heart, oh, this is so powerful. You will speak to that mountain in your life. And you'll say, be cast into the sea, and it will happen. If Jesus could look at a fig tree and say, I curse you in the name of God. And it happened in a day, dried up from the roots. That doesn't happen, folks. It normally takes 10 years for a tree to die. In one day, that thing died. Why? Because the power of God from heaven came through the mouth of Jesus. And what Jesus did, you can do. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of Jesus lives in you. I wish that Christians would get this. You have the DNA of God. Created in His image, in His likeness. You're a speaking spirit. God has put a power in Christians that we could change the world if we would just get it. When your heart and God's mind and your mouth align so that you're single-minded in thought, you speak the Word of God and you believe it, it's going to happen. If it doesn't, God's not true and we're wasting our time. It is true. Do we see it? Not much. Not much. Why? Because we're double-minded. Why is the world not flocking to the church? Because there's no power there. Why is witchcraft growing and Christianity is not? It is. Witchcraft's on the rise because there's power in it. Why do they go to astronomers rather than coming to the church to get a word from God? Will you read my hand? No, but I'll pray for you and God will speak to you. I'm telling you guys, you can be church as usual if you want to, but that ain't changing the world. Let's not be a mirage. Let's be the real deal. Let's be a fig tree that when it's leafed out, it's got fruit. Let's be a church that believes in prayer. That when people come into the house, they might not agree with your doctrine, but they'll say, man, there is a power in that place. Why? Because we're not denying the power thereof. We believe that God still heals, God still saves, God still restores, and God still transforms messed up lives. Amen. Drug addicts don't have to be drug addicts any longer. Alcoholics don't have to be alcoholics, because there's a God in heaven that's able to touch you. Whew. Have the faith of God. Your life does not have to stay the same in 2018. I promise you. Faith of God is positive, it's confident, and it's trustworthy. It's an inward confidence or an assurance, a reliance in God that He says that all He says is true. The faith of God speaks to mountains and does not doubt. The faith of God speaks of His salvation and forgiveness, healing and restoration. And the faith of God will allow Him to fulfill His purpose in your life. So that you're not just a Christian in appearance only. The faith of God says, God, show me what you want me to do. I want to be more than what I am right now. I believe you have a higher calling on my life, and that doesn't mean to be a pastor. That may mean to be exactly what you are right now, but be it for God. You notice that Jesus never stops. It seems like He changes gears. It seems like He changes conversation or going to a new subject. But He never stops. He talks about the faith of God. And then immediately He talks about forgiveness. You see, Scripture says that they'll know us by our love. I say, well, now, Eric, you skip subjects. You're talking about love, and he was talking about forgiveness. You see, my brother, if you have love, you are a person of forgiveness. You're going to have to practice it. You're going to have to forgive a lot of people. Some of you may be sitting back there saying, I'm exercising forgiveness right now. Because you done made me so mad I could chew a nail in half. God bless your heart. I hope you do. Christians are all about love. We're all about love. We're all about walking in forgiveness. And it's a good thing. But the flip side of this thing is awful ugly. Because if you don't forgive, He won't forgive you. That is so solemn. So, in my opinion, you don't have a choice. You have to walk in forgiveness. And it's hard. It's hard. No, let's take it back. Let's say it's not human. See, my human side, when you mess over me, is to get mad and to stay mad. It takes the love of Christ for me to forgive. How do you know when you're forgiven? We all have a story of somebody that hurt us. Can you tell me your story without the emotions of anger coming back? When you can tell your story without, when that comes back, you haven't forgiven. You got to ask Jesus. Every time that anger begins to come back up, you got to push it back down and say a couple of things. And you might not like the first one. God, forgive me. Forgive me for holding on to this. I choose to walk in forgiveness. Help me, Jesus. I choose to walk in forgiveness. Guys, if you don't get nothing else today, get this one. Why is the church powerless? Because there's a lot of unforgiveness in the church. You know, there's some churches that people can't sit with each other? As long as they sit on their side and I sit on my side and we don't meet at the back door, we're okay. Oh, isn't that sad? You know, that happens in families too. You know, that's why Christmas and Thanksgiving are so difficult. Because we don't want to go back and see those people that's hurt us and said ugly things to us. I'm not taking away from any of that, that you really have been hurt. Because I know you probably have. I have been too. But you have to choose to walk in forgiveness. Why allow them people to continue to damn you? Don't let them have control of your life. Let Him control your life. Amen. And when I surrender all the stuff, and I'm going to tell you, a pastor lives in the state of forgiveness. You know, almost every sermon I preach makes somebody mad. I have an anointing on my life. Do you know how many texts I get that will tell me that? And not nicely. You have to walk in forgiveness. Or else, I would act differently towards you. I think probably all of us get ugly from time to time. Right? Can I use that word? We just get mean? Get ugly? Treva's mom used to always say, "Don't be ugly, be Christian." She told that to her kids, but I always understood it as an adult. Yeah, I've had my ugly days. We got to choose to walk in forgiveness. You see, forgiveness is the language of heaven. It's the language of God. If you're here today and you've got unforgiveness in your heart, it's like a cancer growing in you. You don't realize it. But the Bible says a root of bitterness is going to spring up and it will defile many. You love your kids? Walk in forgiveness. You love people that you know you have influence over? Be a person of forgiveness. Or else you're going to pass it down. I guess the truth of the matter is you're going to pass something down. Why not pass the heritage of walking in love and forgiveness down? Because I'll guarantee you, your kids notice when you get hurt. Your kids know when people say bad things about you. And they also know when you choose to forgive and choose to walk in love. And then the very next section, they come to Jesus and said, "By what authority do you do this?" You know, the word authority is rarely used in the Old Testament. Many times the word power and the word authority are interchanged in the Scripture. But this is a different word. Power is dunamis. This is ecclesia or something like that. And it means the right. The right and the power to do something. So they're coming to Jesus and they're scratching their head. And they're saying, "We know you're different. We know great things are happening. But how are you doing this? Who has given you the authority to do this?" And Jesus knew their hearts. So He just asked him a question about John the Baptist. And they wouldn't answer, so He didn't answer. But my question is this. Are people going to ask you the same thing? You see, I believe that when people see you moving in such forgiveness, they know that's not human. They're going to say, "How did you do that? You ever seen a fight at work where two people have a fight and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it's like 2 years later, it's like it's still there. But then every once in a while you see somebody move in forgiveness and it totally throws people off. And they'll wonder, how do you do that? How can you walk in love and forgiveness towards people? By what authority do you do that? I love John chapter 1 verse 12. He gave us the right to become. The word right means the authority. He gave us the right to become the sons of God. You have the authority from heaven when you repent to become God's son. That means the power of God now works in you. So use it. Let's get our heads on straight, church. And let's not be a mirage. Let's be the real deal. Let's let Paris see a group of people that are willing to walk in forgiveness, but walks in the power of God. Why? Because our minds and our mouths match up. Amen. That's faith. When your mind and your mouth matches up, that's faith. Think the thoughts of God and speak them. And it may seem foreign at first. It may seem awkward or even pushed. But push it. Push it. Let's change. Can we change? Do you know the philosophy of the world is a leopard cannot change its spots? You know what they're really saying? People don't change. As a 56-year-old man, there's a big part of my heart that agree with that. If you're a con artist, you're probably going to die a con artist. If you're a thief, it's very likely you're going to die a thief. If you're a liar, you're going to die probably a liar. Except for the grace of God. He is able to come into an unclean life and cleanse it from the inside out and change a leopard's spots. Are you getting this? It's not your work. It's His work. If you don't want to be a mirage, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God is looking for a holy people in these last days. Someone that He can show forth His power. Are you willing to sign up? Amen. I am too. I believe there's somebody in the house that feels a tremendous amount of pressure in your life. God wants to deliver it. Wants to deliver you. I believe there's some that want to say, you know what, I want to be truly a son of God. I believe there's others that says, you know what, my heart and my mouth have not been lining up, but I want it to. And I believe the most important thing that I've talked about today is I believe there's people in here that's hanging on to unforgiveness. And whether you know it or not, it's killing you. It's literally draining the life out of your body. And I believe God sent His Spirit into this place today to say, give it to me. If you will give me your hurts, I'll return you a heart of love. Would you stand with me? That's some kind of sneeze there, sister. If the Spirit of God has moved in your heart, can I ask you just to take a step forward and come and stand in front of this altar? Would you mind just come and stand? I'm not going to ask you what you're here for. It's none of my business. It's between you and God. But this is a sign that you're saying, God, I'm very sincere. I'm very earnest about this. The Spirit of God has put His finger in my heart today. And I know I need to respond. And I'm responding to let you know I give you permission to change my heart. Are you here today? Would you respond to the Spirit of God? Just step forward. Everybody just step forward.